Cool. Actually, you know, Breakaway, you never know what's going to happen. Our theme this year is going to be actually from the book, Song of Solomon. And no, I'm kidding. Just kidding. Really, it's just good to see guys like that. What's that? Oh, yeah, it's kind of waiting over there. Actually, we are going to be, actually, I don't think our staff even knows this. This is late breaking news. We're praying about this and stuff, so talk to Susan and I talking about this. But it'll be Psalm 23, and we're looking at the heart of God there in Psalm 23. This is beautiful. Yeah. A lot of us are familiar with that psalm, but we don't really take much time to kind of unpack that and look at that. And it is profound stuff. And there's a reason that a lot of people are able to recite a fair amount of that psalm. And it is pretty famous, sort of formalized as people look at that. It's incredible. If you unpack that a little bit, it'll be
amazing. So we're really excited to dig into that, and it'll be great. So Breakaway, I'm going to kind of do this little whisper, and you can kind of do this to kind of help get the momentum going here a little bit, thinking about it. So it goes like this. It goes, B-R-E-A-K-O-Y, away, 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 away. B-R-E-A-K-O-Y, away, away, away. One more time. So you're kind of going, wow. Is it you have to whisper the whole time? Yes. It said, be still and know that he is God. All right, he shows up in the gentle whisper. No, we're going to have a loud, fun, amazing time. We're also going to have a change of pace, a change of place, and really a change of perspective. We're going to meet with God. It is going to be an amazing, rich time. And really our just favorite retreat of the year in so many profound ways. It's incredible. Big Weekend is amazing. Breakaway is amazing in its whole different way. We're excited for it. Okay. We're in relationships, kind of wrapping things up, and the formal kind of relationship side of things here tonight. And so we didn't get through all of the Q&A this last week, but did our panel not do a great job last week on our discussing, answering the questions that everybody had? Amazing job. Gosh. Just amazing. So grateful for Suzanne and the Rushholds, Jordan and Ruth. Ruth dropped some one-liners that were going to be T-shirts. Coming up here. I can't wait. Do we have CCF? Maybe that should be our theme for Breakaway. And her little shirt, you know, you're going to catch what you're fishing for. You know, boom, right there. Ruth, you know, I remember like, was that the book of Ruth? No, that was Ruth. That was just Ruth. She just said that, boom. And so they did a great job. And there were a bunch of questions. You guys did a phenomenal job of throwing questions out there. And we couldn't get through all of them last week. And I'm going to take a little time to look at a few more of those tonight. And then I have the bonus round. If there's time, I'm gonna ask some questions you didn't ask that I think you maybe would have asked if you thought about it. Maybe I don't know that maybe are a little bit scarier or something. So we'll see. But I want to do that tonight. And let's just start by praying. I don't want to just answer questions. I don't want to just talk. I want to see God minister here in this place. And so let's just do it real quick if we could, or maybe real long. We'll just pray and see God. So hallelujah. God, we stand before you, sit before you, whatever we're doing right now, and we have lots of questions. Life is a big question in so many ways, and there's so many of them every day, and we know that you ultimately are the answer. And so we ask that you would speak tonight, that what happens here tonight in this place, in our time of worship and song together, and everything that we do would be to glorify you. I ask that you would meet with us tonight, God. We never want to just come here to sing and to speak and whatever, But God, we want to see you minister to your people. And so we ask tonight that you would do that, that you would find your joy and delight in speaking the heart of the living God to his children. So we pray that we'd hear your heart come through and whatever it is that we do here tonight in this place. And we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay, and so that really is my prayer that God would minister tonight. So we'll just kind of dig into these and go through a few of these. I've just got a dozen or so, a little bit more. And again, great questions from you guys. So first one here. How do I know if God approves of the relationship I'm in? It's a great question. If you haven't been struck by lightning yet, there's a better chance that he approves. And so it goes on to say, what should I look for in a God-honoring relationship? That's an absolutely great question. And all these are just fantastic. And there's really no way to know for sure, like, hey, does God have this big stamp of approval at every place along the way in a relationship? In fact, a relationship that is from God can have its challenges along the way. And you go, all of a sudden, you might go, wow, we kind of made some mistakes, and we don't feel the favor of God anymore. We had the thumbs up, and now God's like, you know, poof, you know, whatever, you know, and there's just no constant, consistent, like, we just have the approval of God. Every relationship has its struggles, its blessings, it bumps along the way and all that and everything, and so the important is to be seeking him. But if we're kind of going, gosh, God, is this from you and all that, it's a fantastic thing that really takes some prayer and seeking him. I'll tell you this, I'll try to just kind of give you some thoughts along the way here, but the right person at the wrong time can be just as bad as the wrong person at the wrong time, all right? So there, you might have the wrong person, and you might have that person in mind. It might be like, he's the one, she's the one. Okay, but that person at the wrong time could really be a disastrous thing, because there are things that God wants to do in you and in that other person, all right? And that is a crucial thing. I don't have time to go into some of the details of mine and Suzanne's story, but the timing of everything was so incredibly crucial in what God was doing. We met in August, and I was like, hey, you know, and she was like, no, I'm kidding. But I was like, she's amazing, you know, and it was incredible. I mean, it wasn't until March, long story, crazy way short, that I felt like God said, it is okay to begin to pursue her at all. You know, we didn't hang out. We barely talked. I saw her on campus. We walked the same direction for a minute, you know, and then like, well, I really do need to go. I've been going the wrong way for 5 minutes. I need to go over here, you know. So it was great. You know, I barely saw her, and it was in March that I felt like God said, it's okay to begin to pursue her. And so the day that I contacted her, that morning, she finished up time in this journal that she was working on, that she was praying through, as God was doing huge things in her heart. In as far as relationships with men goes, because there was a big healing that God needed to do, all that, just some stuff that he was doing. And that morning, she finished this entry in that journal, a very deep relationship with God and what God was speaking to her, powerful stuff. And as she finished that up, she felt God saying, and now you're ready. And she was like, what? You know? And that afternoon, come on, Jesus. he said to me, go ahead. You know, and I talked to my pastors about it. I'm like, I think God gave me the thumbs up for a relationship. And I've been saying that's from the devil for, you know, decades. And so there's no way that's possible, right? And they're like, no, we think it might be God. I'm like, what? Are you okay? You know, I'm like checking their temperatures and all the stuff, you know, and everything. But no, really, God was making it very clear that it was. And I tell you, if I'd been a day sooner in that, it may have tragically crazy messed things up. It was crazy perfect. The way that God put all that together. And so when I stepped into her life that afternoon and everything, she was like, wow, you know. And it's like, that's not a coincidence. God's moving. So the right person at the wrong time can really mess things up. So it's just so important all along the way that we're seeking God. And as far as like, how do we know? Is this a godly thing? All that and everything. We've talked a little bit about it last week. But just check the fruit. What is the fruit in the whole thing? There's some relationships I don't want to, you know, mention. This would be really awkward right here at CCF to go, okay, well, let's look at these two people. You know, they're sitting over here. We get the spotlight, Jordan, right over there. You know, whatever. We're not going to do that, right? Okay. It'd be really stupid and terrible. But you can look at a relationship between two people, and you can go, what is the fruit of this? Are they closer to Jesus because of it? Have they, like, you know, disappeared? They don't talk to anybody else anymore. You know, they were serving other people and a blessing to other people, and now they've just kind of like faded off just doing their own thing, and nobody even sees them anymore, whatever, you know. Our relationships are supposed to bring glory to God and be a blessing to the people around us. And so part of it is to look at the fruit. Is this relationship helping these two people to grow in their walk with God, helping them be freer to serve him, or is it, man, it's just kind of selfish. This is becoming really this imploding sort of thing. This is becoming like a black hole. This is kind of crazy and all of that. And so you want to look for the fruit is a really good thing. All right, next question. The Bible isn't, you know what, Lydia, can you turn the lights up a little bit? Because this is kind of a rare opportunity, and maybe we'll kind of blow this up a little bit, and then turn these lights down on me a little bit. I want to be able to see everybody. And so if you have a question along the way here or something you want to elaborate, I guess let's just try to do that, okay? We don't get to do this very often, so we'll do that, all right? Okay. The Bible isn't black and white about godly dating. It's pretty black and white about ungodly dating in some ways, isn't it? It's like, wow, you know, Samson messed that one up. Anyway, how do we go about dating? What about timelines? Is holding hands, hugging, or kissing appropriate? Okay. In marriage, those are very appropriate. Just to make that clear, Suzanne and I hold hands. We have hugged, and we have kissed even and everything. And so anyway, how do we go about dating? What about timeline? All that stuff. Bible isn't black and white. It's a great question, and I think it was addressed some last week, and so just for what it's worth, I think that it's really important, especially in the context and the age group that is mostly represented here, to be looking at this going, is this the kind of person, is this, and maybe not even the kind of person, but more directly the person that I could see myself marrying, all right? If not, then I know this is kind of crazy, and I know some of you go, man, he's just so old-fashioned, you know, and all that stuff. And that's okay. You know, the Bible's older than me and is 100% relevant, all right? And God is older still. And if you think God's irrelevant, then you need to get saved, and we'll have an altar call afterward. God is so relevant. He's amazing. Okay. But one of the things that I think is really important to do is to really look at it through that perspective. Do I believe that this is a person I'm supposed to marry? And there's a couple of really important reasons for that. One is, okay, because most of us take whatever liberties we sort of can. When opportunity knocks in a relationship, we're like, hey, here I go, whatever, all that. And so what we tend to do if we're in a relationship that maybe is the wrong one, we tend to push it forward. We kind of move it along. We don't go like, hey, I'm just really praying about this. I kind of spend a time. And no, you know, we tend to move it forward. And it can be really difficult then to go the other direction. As was mentioned some last week. In fact, someone even asked, what do I do when it's kind of obvious that this isn't good, you know, that sort of thing. And so we find ourselves in that position. You know, it's very rare that I hear someone say, wow, you know, the last few years I've courted three people that I thought I was going to marry. They're incredible people, and we thought we were going to get married, and we're not. But I am so much closer to Jesus because of it, well, you know, all that stuff. But it's not the way that it usually tends to go. We tend to move directions we shouldn't go, you know, and all that stuff. I'll make this commitment to you, okay? As long as I have the opportunity, you know, if it's really obvious that you and your potential significant other are completely missing each other, okay? And it's like, are you kidding me? Okay, I make this solemn commitment to you before God and these witnesses, okay? We'll intervene, all right? In like a sensitive sort of way, it's like, dude, are you kidding me? She's amazing. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just, whatever, you know. And then Suzanne will be on the other side going, have you noticed that guy? He's like, oh, hell, you know, of course I have, but he's just too amazing. And the guys over there going, she's incredible, you know, and she's just too close to Jesus. I mean, I'd like to get to know her, but I'm afraid that I'm going to have one conversation, and she's so like Enoch that God's just going to take her away, you know. God's going to say, girl, you're so like Jesus, get over here, you know, and I just don't want that to happen, you know. If you're that close to Jesus, maybe he's going to Enoch you out of here together, the first couple to be just, you know, chariots of fire right out of here. It'd be amazing, you know, like, there they go, wow, she's just a girl and she's on fire, look at her go. Anyway, so if you're risking missing the beauty of God's plan and it's that obvious, okay, I'm going to smack the guy upside the head, all right. And we'll have that conversation, okay? So I'm sort of kidding and sort of not at all right? You know, nobody wants to see you miss the beauty of God's plan for you, all right? And so I'm not saying that that's going to happen ever or any time or whatever, all that stuff. I'm just saying, goodness gracious, sometimes we're so afraid, you know, that this is like something blowing by in the breeze. It's a snowflake on the wind, and if I don't grab it, you know, somehow it's going to melt, you know, this terrible death, and it's over for me. You know, it's 80 years of torture, you know, or something like that. And really, God is good, and his plans are good, and he's going to make things apparent, I think. So to approach it from the perspective of a courting sort of thing, all right, call it dating if you want, I don't know, whatever, all right, is important. You know, most of us, if you buy a brand new car, okay, there was a pickup on our lot for the touch a truck thing we do for kids, okay, it's brand new from one of the dealerships around here, all right, I looked at it, it had 12,000 miles on it, all right, and I'm going, that's not new. You know, are you kidding me? If I was going to drop $70,000 on a new pickup, all right, it ain't going to have no 12,000 miles, you know, right? You hear what I'm saying? All right. And some of us are going, oh, I'm just test driving this thing, you know. I'm just test driving, you know, I'm just checking things out, you know, and all that. And, you know, 12,000 miles later, you know, you recognize, you know, I mean, you might be taking advantage of a situation instead of honoring it, all right? To be blunt about it, okay, don't be putting no miles on somebody else's car, all right? Especially when ultimately it's God's, right? When ultimately she or he belongs to God, all right? And so for us to exercise some self-control and say, I'm going to be careful. If I'm not really in a place to buy, then I got no right to try, all right? It's a really important thing. So be seeking the Lord about that and getting some perspective is great, all right? Any thoughts about that, questions about that? No? Okay. All right. How much time is appropriate to spend with my significant other before being engaged or married? That's 2 hours and 7 minutes. That's what Suzanne and I had. You know, we're just like, okay, we hit that threshold. Let's get married. No, I'm kidding. It's a great question. And I don't know that it's so much an issue of how much time as much as an issue of what kind of time, all right? Because they go, well, here's the clock, okay? The clock's running. You know, and you're like, ah, you know, whatever. And it's not so much an issue of how much time, as what kind of time. And I would say that the time alone, really alone, I would be really careful about that, you know? Suzanne and I were really careful about that. And part of it was because we were really attracted to each other, all right? I couldn't handle a lot of time alone with her. I'm like, girl, you're so fine that I just don't even trust myself. And so we're just not going to do this. You know, we're hanging out in coffee shops where there's lots of people. You know, hang out at churches where there's nuns singing and that sort of thing. And you know nothing bad is going to go down, you know, with nuns standing right there. You're like, you know, you touch your hand. They're like, hey, you know, hey, you know. You just chase the Holy Spirit out the building. Oh, I'm sorry. Can he come back? You know, sorry about that. And, you know, I'm kidding. But it's really important to be, I think, to be careful about that, sensitive about that. And part of it is because the great book that we profess to live our lives by, talks about defending and protecting somebody else's honor, all right? I didn't want anybody wondering what kind of choices I was making, but also what kind of choices Suzanne was making when we were alone. And since we didn't spend that time alone, then people knew that she was doing what she was doing honorably. It was my responsibility to defend and protect that reputation and that honor. So I went over to her place one time, and her roommates were there. You know, they're in the next room giggling at us and everything, you know, having tea or whatever. We're hanging out and everything. It's kind of old-fashioned everything, and some of you going, oh, that's so stupid, old-fashioned. But some of you that are saying, thinking that, sit down and watch a stupid old-fashioned movie and cry. You're like, oh, that's so beautiful. All right, so before you judge us too much, all right, remember that you shed tears last Valentine's Day, a week ago, or whatever, Saturday, all right, going, that's so beautiful, okay? And it was amazing, you know, it's incredible. And so I think it's really important to do that, okay? I have never had a conversation with a couple that said, you know what, we just had this massive struggle. We gave into temptation, hanging out together in a restaurant, you know? You go, it's never happened, right? You go, that's stupid, ain't gonna happen. Exactly, okay, it's not gonna happen. And so it's not so much how much time as what kind of time, and so, which begs some other questions, all right? So questions about that. Man, seriously, I'm excited about the opportunity to just be interactive, but you're not. Okay, all right. How long is too long to be praying about a specific person, all right? Well, once you marry him, stop praying if it's the will of God, because it is, all right? You're married, and you're supposed to stay married. It is a great question. I think that you know, really, until you're married, it's great to be praying, God, is this your will? You know, Suzanne and I were engaged, and we had our wedding date on the calendar, and God was doing some stuff in our relationship, and we actually pulled our wedding date kind of off the calendar because what was happening is we realized that our event that we were planning was driving our relationship instead of God. And and it's just funny because no matter where you're at in a relationship, it's really easy for things to step into the relationship and begin to drive it that are outside of the plan of God. All right. Now, our wedding was, you know, our marriage was in the purposes of God. But the event itself and planning for it and all this stuff was driving everything. It was the focus of everything. And we knew there were things that God wanted to do in us. And so we need to kind of back away from the soul. My parents are freaking out. They're like, what? Are you kidding? You know, we can't believe that this girl has been duped into marrying you. You know, keep moving forward before she comes to her senses. Okay. You know, I'm like, keep praying that she's insane. And, you know, but this is what we feel like God is doing. And so it's what we need to do. And it really kind of blew away our families, kind of freaked them out a little bit and everything. But it was important. It was something that God was doing. And we were so grateful. So all the way along to just be going, God, we're just sort of leave this on the altar in your presence and say, what is it that you want to do with this whole thing? What is it that you want to do? It needs to bring you glory and honor. And if it's not, then we need to revisit it. And so to be just praying through it the whole way, if you're praying about a relationship, keep praying, all right? If you're praying, is this the right person or anything? You know, pray until you feel like God is really giving you a solid word, one way or the other. And then remember, we don't hear everything perfectly. You know, we're not directly in tune and in touch with God. The Bible says we hear in part, we see in part, we understand in part. And so remember that along the way. And don't just go, whoa, I just heard the voice of God. I'm going to stand on it. You know, here we go. Remember that, you know, we err all the way. So just keep things in prayer. Keep it before the Lord and allow him to guide and direct. I think that's really important, all right? The other thing is that it's sometimes some of us are praying about a relationship going, God, please, I want this to work out. I know this is Mr. Right, or I know she's Mrs. Right, whatever. And we're so fixated on that, okay, that we could be missing what it is that God is doing in the right place. We can miss out. You know, it's really hard for us to really focus two places at the same time, all right? It's really hard for us to see what God's doing if we're really fixated in the wrong place. And most of us have messed that up, all right? So don't be so determined to try to swing God over to your will, Lord, not thy will, but my will be done, all right? That you miss out on what his will is, okay? Because his will is best, as we know, and it's beautiful, all right? Thoughts, questions about that? Okay, all right. What are some fun ways to get to know someone that I'm interested in? It's a great question. Fun ways to get to know someone interested in. I think Jordan talked about this a little bit last time, but my goodness gracious, you guys, I can't encourage you enough. Have fun. Have so much fun. Some of the stuff that we did, I kind of look back at it, it's kind of embarrassing. It's just hilarious, amazing stuff and everything. My roommate and I, our birthdays are 3 days apart. Neither of us were really into our birthdays, but we were into having fun. And so we threw a surprise birthday party for ourselves, okay? We got invitations out to everybody, all right? Surprise party and everything. No gifts, please, all right? So we weren't just trying to get gifts and everything, all that stuff. Although we thought about it. But anyway, so we said, no gifts, please, whatever. And so we bought a cake, or maybe we made it. I don't know. We did the cake thing and all that. And we told everybody to be at our place at a certain time, and that Joe and Brady will be there, you know, a little later, you know. And so everybody's at our place, you know, and they're all talking. They're like, this is cool, whatever. And then they're like, well, who's bringing them? And they're looking around. They're going, man, everybody that knows them is, like, here. And so they started to get suspicious and everything. And so we kind of sneaked up to our place, you know, and we came in the window. We're like, surprise, you know. Man, it was so fun. I mean, there were probably, like, 50, 60 people in our place. And it was, we were in danger of the thing, you know, collapsing. It's up here in Kimball Court. It was so fun. It was so incredibly fun. I was telling our kids that we threw our grill. We were in Kimball Court. We threw our grill in the back of my roommate's pickup. And we cooked hamburgers on the way to Moscow. We had a bunch of friends living in one of the apartments over there. I'm trying to think of. Anyway, the apartments are there on the other end of town. And we cooked hamburgers on the way over there. And we had to figure out what speed we could drive at without putting the flame out, right? You know, all that. We're like, slow down, they're not cooking anymore, you know, and so we're riding in the back and everything. We got some pics of it and everything. It was awesome, and people, so we had to go kind of slow. People are passing us, you know, I'm standing up there flipping burgers, and I'm like, you know, what's wrong with you, you know, and so we pulled in, you know, we had kind of a potluck thing, we pulled in, they had all their stuff out, we pulled in, we're like, they're perfect, you know, get your buns over here, you know, anyway, and so all that stuff, blah, 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 and we did a Bible study that night and everything. You know, there's like 40 of us, whatever. And we just had so much fun doing that kind of stuff. And so just do fun stuff together. Serve together. You know, get a bunch of people together. Let's go help some people out. Let's, you know, crash crew on a Saturday, you know, and sometime and just go, let's get a bunch of people together and let's like freak out whoever's running crew. Family chores this Saturday. And see what happens when 30 extra people show up and blow the thing up. Like, we don't know what to do with you. You know, we're needing to buy more vacuums. You know, here we go. Let's do this. And just have fun together. Find somebody, you know, and you need some help with something and go blow it up. You know, if you're at somebody's place and their dishes, like they're out of dishes because they're all dirty, you know, and then freak them out. You know, come on a Saturday sometime, 7 a.m. with about 8 people and do their dishes. You know, wake them up and pound the pans and wait a minute. What are you doing? Serving you, you know. Don't you love us? You know, and I mean, just do crazy fun stuff. Hang out, get together with some people and do something to bless, you know, some people around you, leadership, whoever, all that stuff. Get to know each other in the context like that. Just have a blast. Be creative with the whole thing. Need some ideas, and be happy to let you know. Anybody have anything they want to throw in there? No. Okay. If I'm missing, just yell at me. Whatever. Okay. All right. What do I do when a guy like starts dating a friend? You're gonna have to choose. You know, between you can't have loyalties to both people. You know, something's gonna change. No, it's difficult. It can be challenging, but I think what's important is just to understand, okay, that you can't both marry him, okay? We're not that kind of church, and okay, and all right, and that you've got to trust the will of God, all right? You know, the funny thing is statistically speaking, neither of you will, all right? So don't get desperate, because odds are neither of you will. One of my roommates and I liked the same girl. We were interested in the same girl at the same time, and it was kind of obvious, all right? We were just super juvenile, and it was kind of apparent. And so that guy is still here at the church. I won't say who he is or anything and all that, but we just had a conversation. We said, hey, you know, I just want to kind of clear the air. Obviously, I think we both kind of think, you know, she's pretty great, whatever. And like, yeah, you know, and it was just amazing to just kind of have the conversation, you know, and we're like, okay, I know where you sleep, you know, I mean, no, not at all. You know, but we just had a conversation, just said, hey, you know, and obviously, I think we both believe that God's, you know, that God's best and will be done, whatever, and we'll see what happens. And neither of us married her, you know, and praise God. You know, we look back, we're like, thank you, Jesus. He's like, yeah, you know, whatever. And it's just kind of funny how it all works. But at the time, it was like desperate, you know, we're like, only one of us can win, you know, two guys living in the dorms together. Both interested in the same woman. What's gonna happen at church Sunday, you know? So, you know, we're both trying to share verses in the Bible with her. No, I'm kidding. We just said, oh, I had the same verse in a better translation, you know, and again. So we just kind of let it go, and man, God's good. So you just maybe have an honest conversation about it, and if you can't handle it, then get some help a little bit, whatever. But God's good about that. All right. Anybody in that situation right now? Okay, I didn't think so. All right. I messed up in the past, and we talked about this some, but this is a little bit different question. I messed up in the past. I know I'm forgiven, and I'm usually able to walk in freedom, but sometimes the guilt swallows me. Okay, what do I do to move on? That's a fantastic question that brings up all kinds of stuff, okay? A fantastic question. All right. First is that everybody has messed up in the past. Everybody has messed up in the past, all right? This is about the only person I can think of in this position, so I'm just going to say it. Sorry, honey. But Suzanne didn't even have any boyfriend in her life before me, okay? And she can tell you she messed up in the past, all right? Because remember, the Bible says it's not just what we do, it's what's happening in our hearts, our minds, all the stuff that matters. And she could tell you that she struggled with all that stuff and everything. And Jesus says that if it's in our heart, we've done it. We're guilty, all right? And some of you are going, yeah, I know that, okay. But still, that's different, okay? Because we don't ask people if they're a physical or if they're an emotional virgin, you know? Oh, yeah, I'm not a physical virgin, but I'm an emotional virgin. I mean, you know, right? Okay, we don't. But it's true, okay? It's really true. And I think it's really important that all of us get past, and this is, I think, some of the fundamental thing in the whole thing, get past either thinking that we've got it so put together that God deserves to bless us with somebody else who had it so put together, all right, because that's not true, all right, because every one of us has a past, okay, and then the other thing is to think that our past is such a big deal that we're going to allow it to determine our future instead of the will of God, all right? So if your past is dictating where you're going, all right, then that's called idolatry in Scripture. And you've got to surrender that to Jesus, just like everybody else. And this is one of those times where you can say there's two kinds of people on the planet, okay? There's people that have their sin and their baggage checked at the foot of the cross, and they're free, and there's people that don't, all right? And so whatever your past is, and all of us have one, okay, that needs to be surrendered at the cross, the foot of the cross, and left with Jesus, all right? And one of the most difficult things sometimes is there's people so proud of their limited past and everything that God's going, there's no way then I'm gonna make a mess out of some guy or girl with the struggles that you got in your pride. Sometimes our pride is a way bigger deal than somebody else's mess. Just look at Jesus and how he treated the Pharisees. We can be relational Pharisees. I got it all put together. I got it all figured out. And then Jesus says, let him who's without sin cast the first stone. In my office, up on my bookshelf, I have this stone that's like broken in half, so it has a face, and I wrote on it, the first stone. Okay? It sits on my bookshelf. I've never thrown it. I never will. Okay? Just kind of there as a reminder. I am not without sin. There's only one person who ever was, and he didn't even throw it. And so if we're all hung up about how great our past is in our eyes, or terrible, they're one and the same sin. And we've got to surrender that to Jesus, all right? And if your background is pretty pure and all that stuff and everything, and so you're kind of thinking, hey, so I deserve, you know, purity and holiness and whatever. My goodness gracious, you need to get in the presence of Jesus, because you might miss out on the greatest blessing in your life, this side of heaven, besides salvation, in your arrogance, all right? And that's it, all right? And I've been there. My pride and arrogance were some of the biggest struggles that I ever had in my life, and God made a train wreck out of that mess. And so I can encourage you, if you got to struggle with that, just allow God to deal with it now, because it just gets worse the longer you go with pride and arrogance. And I won't tell you those stories right now, but trust me, please. Okay. I'm afraid of talking to girls as friends because I'm worried that what I say will be taken the wrong way. What should I do? That's a great question. All right. Now, this can be taken two ways. One is, I'm very interested in them, and I'm afraid they're just going to think I want to be friends, all right? I don't think that's what the person's saying, all right? But if you're having trouble really expressing you're interested in someone, then you can come talk to one of us, and we'll help you. But I think what this person's probably saying is that, what happens if I'm too friendly, and so people take it the wrong way, all that kind of stuff? And that's a great question. That comes up once in a while. It's a fantastic question, all right? One of the things, that first thing I'd encourage you to do, okay, is just first make sure you do check your motives. What are your motives? Are you hoping she's going to take it the wrong way? You know, whatever. A lot of us can be a little flirty because it's fun. It's going to get a little attention. Some of us have watched other friends kind of shamelessly do the flirt thing. Like, there's a little flirt back. And before you know, you're like, oh, my goodness gracious, I've never seen, you know, such a mess, whatever, you know, right? But we can be guilty of the same thing. You know, and people are like, what are you saying? You know, what are you doing? You know, it's crazy. So we've got to check our motives first and foremost. But then if our motives are right, okay, then a couple of things I would say. One is to make sure that you're talking to people in a way that it's not confusing. Be in a group setting so it doesn't seem like you just kind of single them out, you know. I don't know what it is, but every time I go for long walks alone at night with someone, they think I'm interested. Did you give them candy and flowers? Yeah. What'd the card say? Oh, it said, I think you're fantastic, you know. Okay, that's confusing, all right. And we put ourselves in situations sometimes that are kind of that way and everything. And so if you don't want to be confusing, then you know, let it be in a group context, that sort of thing. The other thing is just make sure that you're consistent, okay, from one person to the next, all right? So if you're going to get a door for somebody, make sure you're getting doors for everybody, all right? You might, you know, on the way out of church, you might be standing there for a half hour. No, go ahead. This is just what I do. Go ahead. You know, I'm just getting doors for people. You know, here we go, you know. And then that's not confusing, all right? If you're a gentleman all the time, then when you're a gentleman to a lady, she may not confuse that as I'm special. She might confuse that with, wow, maybe someone around here is a gentleman. And be a gentleman. It's a fantastic thing. Please do. One time, I was walking into Wallace. I love this because at Wallace, you know, you got that long walk going into the cafeteria, right, going into the hub. And so I went to get the door. I look back behind me all the time. You know, you don't know if there's a guy behind you, you give it that. There you go, bud. Little push. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, just it means I was thinking about you, but I'm not going to stand here and hold the door for you. That'd be weird, right? And we all know that. And he goes like that back, and away you go, right? Okay. But I look behind me, and like seriously, almost at the parking lot by the tower, you know, all the way out there, there's a girl walking. I'm like, it's a girl. So I stood there, and I just kind of felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, hold the door. I'm like, are you serious, God? I've got better things to do than obey you right now, you know. And so I just stood there and held the door, okay. And she comes walking along, you know, she's just kind of like this, walk along with her backpack, whatever. She looks up, she's me holding the door, and she's like, you know, kind of like confused, like, she's like, you know, whatever. And so she's kind of walk along, you know. She kind of stands up a little straighter, you know, and kind of speeds up a little bit, like, you know, he's a long ways away holding that door. He's probably getting tired, you know. But then she saw me just standing there smiling, and I saw her kind of start to just go, well, hey, you know, like, daggum, you know. This is going a little better than I thought, you know. I don't know who this guy is. I'm probably never going to see him again. If he asks me to sit down with him, I'm going to run, you know. But this guy's holding the door for me. He looks happy, you know. And so she kind of comes walking. I'm like, oh, well, you know. Like, she's kind of starting to figure out what to say, like, 50 feet away. And I'm like, no hurries. You're fine, you know. And she just walk up. Well, thank you. I'm like, well, you're welcome. You know, God bless you. Have a great day, you know, and everything. And just be consistently nice to people and everything. And if that's confusing to people, then just let the chips fall where they may. But be consistent with it instead of selective with it. You're like, yeah, I'm kind of mean to 50 people and nice to one. I don't know why that person confused my motives, you know, and what my intentions were. But man, I just can't encourage you enough. If you're a nice person, stay nice, okay? If you're a gentleman or a lady, be a gentleman or a lady, all right? If you're interested and you care about people, all right? We can have way worse problems than everybody just caring so much about each other that someone walks in here and goes, my goodness gracious, you know, I don't know what's in the Kool-Aid, you know, but like this whole place is lit up, you know, with something weird going on here and everything and all that. Yeah, it's love potion number Jesus, you know, and God's moving and doing something here. That's a great thing. It'd be a great problem to have. And so be friendly. If you have more questions about that, then just ask them. All right. So last couple things. I'm going to move into the bonus round. We'll wrap this up. All right. Is marriage hard? I see a lot of not very happy couples. Okay. That's my question, because I've seen that a lot, right? And there was a couple in ministry that I would see consistently at lunch around here in Pullman, and they were never happy and never talking, and I was like, I hope they're okay, you know? And if marriage and ministry is like that, maybe I don't want it, you know, whatever. And it is interesting, okay? Let me just tell you, just because you see a very happy single person, it doesn't mean that every single person is always happy. Just because you see a sad single person doesn't mean that every single person is sad. Just because you see a sad married couple doesn't mean that every married couple is sad. And just because you see a very happy married couple doesn't mean every married couple. You hear what I'm saying, okay? All right? Wherever it is that we are in life, we have the decision, okay, about what our perspective is going to be toward it, all right? Marriage, just like every other thing, every place in life, every perspective in life, can be absolutely incredible, and it can be challenging, all right? And someone who goes, marriage is hard, okay? I go, wow, you know, hopefully that's a temporary thing you're going through right now, all right? Because marriage can and should be, and it isn't always like everything else, but amazing, all right? And maybe it's mostly because I got married a little later, you know, and I thought that maybe it would never, ever, 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 ever happen, okay? But I still walk in gratefulness for Suzanne and how God has blessed me so much with her. I didn't think I was ever going to get married. I didn't think I was going to ever have kids. And so sometimes when things are a little challenging with the kids, I'm just like, thank you, God. I remember Liam, you know, he's about 1.5, my little buddy, and we're working on our house and everything, and he's got a little shirt and his little jeans on. He's kind of trucking around doing stuff, and I just cry, and I'm just going, I can't believe it, God. You blessed me to have a son to be doing this stuff with and everything. It's just incredible. And so just like everything else in life, gratefulness, our attitude toward it, it changes everything. And if you see an unhappy married couple, it doesn't mean that every married couple is unhappy and going through it and everything. It's amazing. However, if you generally live life depressed as a single person, you will generally be depressed as a married person, okay? Marriage is not going to fix your plight in any way in life, all right? You see a happy single person get married to another happy single person, you're going to see a pretty happy marriage. Next, isn't sex best for young people? Wow, everybody woke up all of a sudden. So if I wait, will I miss out? Well, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure why I wrote that. It's more difficult to answer than I anticipated now that I'm up here in front of you guys. So, that's a fantastic question, me. So, you know, and the answer could be, sure. You're going, what? You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to be, no, it's best when you're 94, you know, whatever. Okay. And I'm not 94, but I'm guessing that it's not. Okay, I don't know. Okay. Even if you're both alive, you know, like, that's kind of crazy, you know, whatever. So maybe, all right, okay, in some ways, and absolutely not in other ways, all right. I just want to address this real quick because I think it's a big deal, and a big deal, and, you know, and I've been there with all those questions and everything, all right. Sex, like everything else in life, okay, is not just a physical thing, all right. It's not just a physical thing. Remember, we are three parts. God designed us to be spirit, soul, and body. What the world does around us is it reduces things like sex, okay, to just a body thing. To just a body thing, all right? If you're kind of going, what on earth are you talking about? Again, it's sort of like this. It's sort of like food, okay? If you just take the approach to food, if I'm gonna eat what pleases my taste buds, all right, then you're going to become a very large person, generally, okay? I mean, what I want, whenever I want, and whatever, all that stuff, and everything, you're generally going to become pretty large, all right? And so you go, well, why shouldn't I be able to just do what I want, okay? And we kind of feel that way sometimes about things like sex, but we understand that life doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you take that approach to everything, anything else in life, it's a mess. And sex is the same way, okay? It can actually destroy you, okay, physically, but also in soul and spirit as well, okay? Ultimately, the connection that two people have is supposed to happen way beyond the physical, all right? Sometimes people ask all the time, hey, you know, should we cohabit? Should we live together? Should we whatever? We want to make sure that we're sexually compatible, all right? Let me just tell you this, all right? If you're plumbed as one gender, yes, I'm going there. The other person is plumbed the other gender, okay? You are sexually compatible, all right? I know that's a revelation to some of you. You're going, is it that simple? It is, okay? It is. If you've had so much experience with sex, okay, you're like, man, 5,000 times later, these are my preferences. I need to find somebody else with those same preferences, okay? That's a whole other mess that needs to be addressed, okay? The whole idea of sexual compatibility is completely crazy loss in our society around us, all right? If you've got a male and a female, all right, the odds are about 100% that there's compatibility there. That's the way that God designed it, okay? And you can have the same preferences, whatever on earth that means, okay? You watch some TV show and you're like, wow, apparently they both prefer the janitorial closet. Are you kidding me? You know, I don't get that, all right? I don't get that, whatever. Like, just turn that off, all right? Fast, all right? There's a soul connection, okay, that the world doesn't understand, okay, that can happen in Christ in a way that can't happen anywhere else, that brings two people together, that takes it way beyond just a physical thing and impacts you at a crazy, more intimate, beautiful level. And then that's without even touching on the spirit level. If God has done something to bring two people together and the blessing of God and the fullness of the Holy Spirit is on it, okay, there is an intimacy, a level of intimacy that this world does not understand. I can't even tell you the statistics and the studies and everything that talk about people in a marriage, people that are sleeping together, whatever, and all that, where things are absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. Where people are just being completely plundered in their bodies and souls. Basically, they're giving into the lies of the world, okay? So, man, if God brings you together with the right person at a young age and everything, and so you've got an extra decade or whatever for that intimate relationship and everything, awesome, all right, that's amazing, that's great, fantastic, all that. But I tell you what, we have a planet filled with a messed up view of sex and what it is and everything. God invented it, he came up with it, and in the perspective of God, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And anything short of that is missing out and being robbed of God's purposes. Being robbed of God's purposes. And I'm not just saying that. You know, the people that are most likely to get divorced are the people that have lived together before marriage with the intention of getting married. We're committed to each other 100%. We're going to get married. We're going to live together, you know, because financially or whatever it works out that way, we're going to get married. Those are the people most likely to get divorced in the end. People go, I got to try it, whatever, and all that. It messes things up. It messes up the plans of God without getting into what's happening on our hormonal level and all that stuff and everything. It's unbelievable. The scientists now talk about the monogamy hormone, about how God put things together. God, there's so many things that are happening even on a chemical level where God binds two people together. And if you're having sex with someone outside of marriage and everything, and you break off that relationship, it's like a little divorce. Then you have another little divorce. Then you have another little divorce. What ends up happening, we practice breaking off relationships so many times that we take that habit into marriage, and then that one is doomed. And it happens over and over and over again. God's way is the best way. And if you've had a problem and you've messed it up in the past, whatever, he redeems and he restores. There's a guy I know in ministry that has spoken here at our church. He was a pimp. He married a prostitute. And God restored her physical virginity before their wedding. Restored her physical virginity before their wedding. God redeems and restores. Did he have to do that? No. Does he promise he's going to do that? No. Whatever. But God can do anything. If God can do that and everything, who are we to sit back in judgment and go, well, that's messed up and everything? God does a redemptive work over and over and over again. Let's have the band come up, please. You are not beyond redemption. You are not beyond redemption. You are not beyond the blessing and beauty of God's plan. Some of us are going, I've messed up so much that there's no sense in me trying to protect anything. I have nothing to protect anymore. It's not true. You're a child of the King. You're a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his mercies are new every morning. And he has a beautiful plan for you. A beautiful plan for you. And the person that you marry someday, God has that for you, and he almost certainly does. That person is also going to be humbled and in tears, looking at the redemptive work of God in their own lives, and that he has blessed them with you. You. You should be able to look at him or her and say, God, would you be so good? Are you that good? And that person looks back at you and in their quiet time says, God, is your plan that great? Are you that amazing? Do you love me that much? And he does. It's not done. It's not over. You're not damaged goods. You're a son or a daughter of the King. And he makes all things beautiful. Let's pray. God, I thank you for what you're doing in us. I thank you. And God, I pray that you would eradicate, you would lay bare every lie of this world. In these contexts, everything this world says is how it works and the best way to go about it and what it's supposed to look like and to say that there's no reason to walk in faith and the goodness of God. You better just go make it happen. God, I pray that you would just destroy those lies, lay them low, ruin them. You would give us faith, God, for your plan, for your perspective. For your best, because you are good. You are good. And you look at us, you pick us up from wherever we've been and say, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. Because we're forgiven. We're free. We're redeemed. God, I pray you'd help us to walk in the freedom of that. We thank you. We're here in awe and wonder tonight at the grace of our God. God, give us faith. Give us faith to believe for that which you are doing that we can't see. I ask it in Jesus' name.